are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove. Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Dovetails. I am your host, Deborah, founder of DCL Ministries, a ministry that highlights random acts of kindness. We just love that you tune in every week. So continue to join us, chat with us, as you help us encourage others each and every Sunday, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We want to wish everyone a safe and happy holiday weekend. But if you need to be inspired or simply in need of a dose of something good for your spirit, log on to our website at www.dclministries.com. I'm going to repeat that, www.dclministries.com, where I know you will be visually drawn in while your spirit is being challenged and fed. We have wonderful articles and devotionals to snack on. And don't forget to check out our very own Writer's Corner, where we highlight ministries, authors, artists, entrepreneurs that are in one form or another, spreading the goodness of the gospel to the community where they live and beyond. This month, we are featuring Adrian Thompson, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful author from Arkansas who will be releasing her 25th book titled See Me Too. Please make sure you reserve your copy, you pre-order your copy. This is a very anticipated sequel to her first book, and See Me Too will be coming out July 5th. So just mark that on your calendars. We also had Adrienne on Dovetails a couple weeks ago as she shared her tremendous story with us. If you missed that show or any of our shows that aired, log on to our archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. And I'm going to repeat that too, www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. And also, if you feel that you are a right fit to share your dovetail, we want to hear from you. We absolutely want to hear from you. Be sure to log on to the website at DCL Ministries and send me a message through the contact page. We've had so many wonderful, God-fearing people on our show, so we encourage all walks of life. I don't care what your story is. I know that the Lord has got to be working through you if you've allowed him to govern your life. Even if you haven't allowed God to govern your life, you are rubbing elbows with Christians. You are rubbing elbows with people that love the Lord. And I just know that if you're allowing the Lord to really take over, you're going to be able to have a dovetail. So please log on to the website and contact me, which would be awesome. It is an amazing week, and just discovering how everything is working in my own life. One other noteworthy piece of information is that my book is coming out this week, July 7th. And it's funny because I was speaking with my mother, and she reminded me that it was July 7th. July is the seventh month, and the seventh, of course, was just one of my favorite numbers, and it means to be full. And so I am definitely full and loving where I'm at in my life. You can pre-order my book. It's, again, coming out July 7th. You can pre-order it on Amazon. You can go to any bookstore and purchase the book or pre-order it. And if you are hungry now, and I definitely say hungry, it is available on Kindle. So I'm excited about that. And again, just what an exciting time in my own life. When I wrote this book, just going through so much in my life. And I have to say, I love the title of the book, Beyond the Face of the Movies. And came to a moment of my life that it was, how did I get here? And I know there's many of you out there that are wondering, how did I get here? And as I was going through that, I was going through a divorce. I needed spiritual guidance. I just was running around from anybody that would just listen to me or I could talk to about my problems. And what happened was I gravitated towards movies. From childhood, I'd always loved movies, and this was just no different in my life. I ended up watching a lot of movies, and the Lord just spoke to me through the movie. He would speak to me through the dialogue. He would speak to me through the music. And I found myself sitting there just through watching that movie, just their triumphs, their tragedies, their mistakes. And I could see myself in them. And then the Lord, you know, kept bringing scriptures or biblical characters to my mind. And I was reminded all over again that the Lord uses ordinary people. I'll never forget, there was a movie that I watched called Rhapsody with Elizabeth Taylor. And beautiful, beautiful movie. And I remember sitting there and in this movie, Elizabeth Taylor, she is a wealthy heiress. And she's talking with her father, and they're going back and forth, you know, challenging each other with their wit. And you can tell that they're just never, I don't know, you just, if honestly, if you didn't know they were father and daughter, you probably would be sitting there thinking, okay, something's up here, because they don't seem like father and daughter. And in this particular scene, when Elizabeth Taylor, this is after she tried to commit suicide, and her father's sitting there, and he's trying to encourage her, and he looks at her and he says, wow, after all these years, we still can't communicate. And he says, is it my words or your ears? And I remember sitting there watching that. I played that scene over and over and over. I don't know if you've ever just in your life been in a, watched a movie where there was a line that stuck to you like glue and you knew when you heard it, it was for you. And I remember just sitting there, is it my words or your ears? It's almost like when you read the Bible and you read a scripture and you're just like, wow, it sticks to you like glue and you never forget it because it pierces your heart. And this is what this book is about. Are you at a point in your life that you want to go beyond the faith? Do you want to go beyond what's in front of you? Do you want to dig a little bit deeper? Do you want to find out whether it's my words or your ears? Where's the dysfunction at? Am I saying something wrong? Are you hearing me right? And that's what I love about this book. I've said it in the past. It's a compilation of 11 short stories. Each chapter compares a biblical character in a Hollywood movie. And just kind of how I described things that jumped out at me while I watched that movie. And then the Lord, Holy Spirit, just truly illuminated a biblical character for me. And and that's what this book is about. I'm convinced this book will help you laugh at yourself. It will help you to love yourself and to face yourself all over again. So be encouraged as you rise from the ashes while being transformed into something beautiful. So July 7th, I hope you pick up a copy. Please let me know what you think of it. Write a review. It's always so welcome. But before we go forward into today's topic, and today's show topic is process of salvation, each week we always go into the heart of this show and the title of this show. We always read from the Gospels of Mark, and you can take a look at that Gospel. It's chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And what I love is this scripture just really lets you know when the heavens opened up. This is when Jesus is being baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. I love it. You know, Christ is saying, you know what? You need to baptize me so we can fulfill prophecy. And I love the heavens opened up. The heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit rested on Christ like a dove. And when you thought about that, when you ponder on that and you think about, wow, what's going to happen to me? One that follows Christ, one that loves Christ, one that wants to be illuminated when we're reading the Word of God. What's going to happen in my life when I allow the Holy Spirit to rest on me like a dove? Like Christ, when he walked the earth for 3 years with the disciples and he's building relationships and talking to people and laughing with people and it's just amazing what he achieved, and this is the heart of this show. I truly believe the greatest miracle Christ ever did was changing the heart of man, and I just know right now there's people out there that are listening. I know that there's people that you know that you are just looking for the change of Christ to happen in someone's life. And that's what this show is about, the guests that we have on the show. A lot of times when I'm speaking with a potential guest, it really is, I need to hear that God triumphed in your life, that you're an overcomer. And it's really important to know that triumph, not from your own willpower, but truly from the glory of the Lord resting upon you. So with that being said, what is your dovetail? I don't know if you've thought about it, but what is your dovetail? What did you think you couldn't get through, but you went to a Bible study, or someone imparted something wonderful to you and you were able to see your way through by repeating a scripture over and over and over again? What did you think that you'd never come to? Hey, I never thought I'd write a book. I never thought when I was crying on my floor that the book would be produced from that. There's no way in my mind. I was just begging, can I get through it? But we're just interested in if you have a dovetail to contact us. And the show is truly dedicated to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And without him, I would be nothing. We would be nothing. And as we roll into the topic of the show today, what Christ did when the Holy Spirit rested on him like a dove is very, very appropriate, because today we are talking about the process of salvation. And I thought that this would be an appropriate topic to speak about because, you know, there's just many people, when we allow God to govern our lives, when we have that prompting from the Holy Spirit, whether we were sitting in the pews, whether we were in McDonald's, whether we were in Ross or TJ Maxx or in a restaurant, there's that wooing that happens with one when God is drawing you and he's drawing you closer, and all of a sudden you start having these questions about the Lord, and then you give your life over to the Lord. And this show today is really about after you've done that. I think there's a misconception that like Puff the Magic Dragon, it's all going to be, all your problems are going to go away. And I really today is about breaking down what is the process of salvation. Today's show is really about the first principles, the fundamental truths, that there is some work that is involved in your salvation and the process. That's why it's a process. And so I'm hoping today that we can talk about those things. What is an evangelical Christian? Like, what is that? I heard that term before, but what is that? What is substitutionary atonement? Like, what is that? You know, as a new Christian, when you give your life over to the Lord, you have a new identity in Christ, and that happens right away. You're seen without blemish, no condemnation. You are seen as holy in his sight. That happens immediately. But the life, your new life in Christ, this is kind of what we're going to try to dive into today. And also, how does the Godhead and myself play a role? So God the Father plays a role. God the Son plays a role. Holy Spirit plays a role, third person in the Trinity. And there's a role that I play as well, and we're going to talk about that today. It is an open forum, so feel free to ask us questions, call in, make a comment, or you can just listen. It's up to you. It's a wonderful day here in Philadelphia. If you're interested in calling in and make a comment just to chat with us, you can call 646-668-8485 and press 1 to be live on the air. So we are going to take a very, very short break, and we're going to be right back with today's topic of process of salvation. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
Hello, hello, hello. And that's right, you are tuning in to Dovetails on this holiday weekend. We hope you're being safe. We hope you're having a great time, whatever you're doing, and we hope you're listening in to us. Today we are going to be talking about the process of salvation, and prior to just jumping into that large topic, just so that you know, there's many, many books on this topic. There's many books about salvation, the process of it. There's a lot of commentary online. You can Google so many things. Google's truly our friend these days. But I just wanted to kind of start off or preface what I'm going to talk about today, that I'm not the aficionado on this topic, but I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate about the personal relationship that I know that you can have with Jesus Christ if and when you decide to let him govern your life. So prior to diving into the process of it, I felt there were three things that we sort of need to get on the same page on. One of them being sin, and I felt, let's start with sin, because this whole thing is really about sin, and where better to start but the Garden of Eden, and understanding that the Bible is, once the fall of man happened, the Bible is really about reversing the curse. It really is about that, and you get the gorgeous stories, and you get all these wonderful things that God's showing you, but really that backdrop is reversing the curse. It's getting us back to where we started. One thing that I feel we need to get on the same page on is just how rampant sin is in our world today, how it has corroded our society and perverted it and diluted it to opposed from what God originally had for us in the Garden of Eden. You have this married couple, Adam and Eve, that really, to tell you the truth, had nothing better to work, want for. And so what's so crazy about it is that in the Garden of Eden, they had each other. They had God. They had great jobs. They had a place to live. And then all of a sudden, the fall of man happens, and everything changes. And you kind of know within your own life when sin enters in. One thing that I wanted to make clear was sin did not originate with Adam and Eve. It actually entered into the world through Adam and Eve, and that's important to know, and that sin can enter into any of our lives. And so understanding at least that, and sin, when it entered, you can see the distance that it put between God and humanity. Just even in the Garden of Eden, as soon as sin entered, it's like, okay, unfortunately, Adam and Eve, we gotta put you out. And you can see, we're in 2016 right now, and you really can have this feeling how sin grows, how it gets larger and larger and larger. In the Bible, it says sin full-blown is death. And the best illustration is right outside the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve have two children, Cain and Abel, and what happens? Cain kills his brother. And so you see here that when sin enters, look at the catastrophic things that can happen. If you think about your own personal life, let's just say you have an addiction. Let's just say you have an addiction and that you're not able to kind of get any sort of control over it or and you're really struggling with that sin. And so so many things are just kind of happening in your life and you're struggling. And maybe you are an alcoholic, but you know what? Where did it start? Did you start just by having a cocktail at a party, and now you're an alcoholic? And that just really shows you in your own life how sin can really, 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 really grow. One thing I wanted to read was the definition of sin. Original sin may be defined as the sinful state and condition in which men are born. It is so designated because it is derived from the original root of the human race, which is Adam. It is present in the life of every individual from the time of his birth, and it is the inward root of all the actual sins that defile the life of man. Simply stated, it refers to the corruption of our whole nature. And so you can see here, once the fall of man happened in the Garden of Eden, sin is in our nature. So again, before we even dive into the process of salvation, understanding that sin has permeated our society really lets you understand there is a need for Christ to come. Him dying on the cross for our sins, our past, our present, and our future is so, so, so very important. The next thing that I wanted us to get a visual of was the tabernacle. So in the Old Testament, anyone that's familiar with the Bible, we know that God commissioned Moses to build this replica of what was already in heaven here on earth. And in short, we have the tabernacle starting on the side with the tribe of Judah, and that is the east entrance. So we have the tent of meeting, we have the outer court, the inner court, the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies. Holy of Holies is where the Ark of the Covenant resided. And of course, inside that ark, we had the manna, we had the budding staff of Aaron, and we also had the Ten Commandments. And on top of that is the mercy seat. And of course, we have the cherubim, which are the that are facing one another, and their fabulous wings are cascading towards one another. So this is so gorgeous. But when we really pan back from the tabernacle, what we're really seeing here is like when what God's trying to show us is sin has to be atoned for. And that's why I bring up the tabernacle, because every time something would happen, God, and especially in the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, he's really trying to explain to us the laws. He's trying to condition the Israelites. He's trying to condition mankind. He's trying to condition them that sin must be atoned for. Again, you know, Garden of Eden, we're back in, you know, there's sin that enters in, but now it's going rampant. Now it's out of control. Sin full-blown is death. So what's so crazy is that when we really pan back from looking at this tabernacle, every time the Israelites, whether they're bringing a grain offering, a dove, an animal, they had to bring their offering so that the sin would be atoned for. So then that really makes a better understanding, I believe, when you realize, again, why Christ is the final sacrifice. We no longer need to drag a goat in the middle of I-95 and slay him, trying to atone for our sins. Christ, God is saying, through this conditioning, I'm trying to show you that sin has to, there's a price to be paid for it. There's a consequence. And so that you don't have to take that on yourself anymore, Christ is the final sacrifice. And all our job to do is believe. So here's that. We need to have that in our posture when we are talking about the process of salvation. Because truth be told, if you don't think that you're a sinner, if you don't think that sin has a price, then you'll never feel a need to turn your life over to Christ, because he's the final sacrifice. You just have to believe that he died on the cross for you. And then here we are with we leapfrog through time, and now we're in 2016, and you know, you're hearing Christian, and you know, so there's people in the world that are governed by God, not governed by God. I mean, it really comes down to those simple two concepts. And then when we look at one another and say, okay, I'm a Christian, and what we're saying is we're assuming that we are an evangelical Christian, and that comes to that next question: what is actually an evangelical Christian? And the definition of an evangelical Christian is the term describes a Christian who embraces the historic Orthodox Christian faith. So again, we ask, what does that mean? Sometimes theology can throw around so many terms and you're like, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not sure I understand. So hopefully this show will help, as I love to say, fill in the holes of the Swiss cheese. So again, evangelical Christian embraces the historic Orthodox Christian faith. But an easy way to break it down, there's five hallmarks describing what an evangelical Christian believes at the root. And we're going to take a really quick short break. I hope I have you on the edge of your seats. Like, what is it? What is it? What is it? What are those five things? But we're going to take a really short break. We'll be right back with the process of salvation in just a moment.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to the Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
Hi, I'm Sherry with the Lemonade Stand. As the weather warms, your risk of exposure to mosquito and tick-borne illnesses increases. Please keep these tips in mind when outdoors. Wear light-colored clothing, apply repellent, avoid high grassy areas, check yourself after returning, and remove any attached ticks promptly, only with a tick removal device or tweezers, avoiding any home remedies. This has been a community service announcement courtesy of the Lemonade Stand.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah, right here on WPJC 104.5.
Hello, and we are back to Dovetails. Hope you're enjoying yourself today listening to us talk about the process of salvation. Anyone out there that's given their life over to the Lord and you're just confused as to how come it doesn't seem to be working all in your favor, we're going to talk about just that today, the process of salvation. Prior to the break, we just kind of wet people's palate in regards to, before even diving into the process of salvation, to understand at least a small snapshot of what sin is, and how sin has grown since it's been in the Garden of Eden, and why Christ came to bear our sins, as he bore our sins, as it says in the scripture. And then we talked about the tabernacle, how sin must be atoned for. Prior to going to break, we talked about an evangelical Christian, and what that means is that a Christian who embraces the historic Orthodox Christian faith, and that there's five hallmarks describing what that actually is. A lot of times, I don't know about you, if you can relate, but I'll be talking with someone and we start saying, like, they're a Christian, I'm a Christian, but the more I'm talking to them, I'm like, you don't sound like a Christian. And this could be why. So the first hallmark is the inspiration and authority of the Word of God. This is one of the hallmarks. Does the Christian you're speaking to believe that? The authority of the Word of God. A lot of times we, in our ignorance, we approach the Bible and we're dissecting it like we're Sherlock Holmes, looking for a way to dispute the Word of God and to already argue with it. And what happens is that's the wrong posture, because you need to approach the Bible understanding in the authority of it, that the Bible is going to teach you. The scripture says that the word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating through bone and marrow, spirit and flesh, and judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Are you allowing the Word of God to actually do that with you? Or are you having mental idolatry? Are you bringing in your pre-understanding? Are you over-spiritualizing the Word of God? Are you bringing in your cultural baggage? Maybe you went through a divorce like I did, and every single time a scripture comes in there that has to do with divorce, you're fighting that mentally. You're like, oh, the scripture can't mean that. It can't mean that. But no, when you allow Holy Spirit to convict you, when you allow Holy Spirit to do his job and illuminate God's truth to you, then you are allowing the authority of the Word of God to breathe through. And a lot of times people get caught in that. So again, are you a Christian that believes in the authority of the Word of God? The other would be the inspiration of the Word of God. So sometimes I'll hear maybe someone say, well, you know what, I don't believe that, I don't believe in the Bible because man wrote it. So we're going to go to 2 Timothy 3:16, and all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Anytime that you see in scripture the word so that, those two words, is a purpose-driven statement. So it's saying all the scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that there's a purpose in this, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of the Lord is inspired by God. Paul is a writer, but God is the author. Moses is a writer, is the author. Timothy is a writer, God is the author. And so a lot of times when we are reading the Bible, we might be looking at it. There's something called a reader's response or an author's response. So you can imagine when you're reading the Bible, you really want an author's response. You want to read the Word of God and say, what's God trying to tell me through this scripture? Some people don't do that. They read it with a reader's response, like you would read a letter from your sister, and you're responding to your sister. Reading the Word of God is a little bit different. So you want to have an author's response, because the Word is truly inspired by God. And Holy Spirit in Paul is what allowed him to write those wonderful epistles and those wonderful books, those 13 books that he had written. The next hallmark is the virgin birth of Mary. A lot of people, you talk with them, and again, you start dissecting what they believe, what they don't believe, what they've thought about. Mary, she did not have that baby through her husband Joseph. It was not through a human that she birthed that child. It's through the Holy Spirit. So that is another hallmark. The other is the deity of Christ. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. And that is Jesus as Lord. That really touches upon the Trinity, that touches upon the Godhead, understanding that Jesus is God. He is the Word in flesh. He is God that has come down to dwell with us. So that is another. The fourth would be the substitutionary atonement, which we're going to talk about next. And that is, of course, Christ dying on the cross for you. And then the last would be the second coming and bodily resurrection. Do you believe that? Do you believe second coming is referring to the end times? And again, eschatology is the study of end times. So again, you can sort of go online. You can purchase books that are going to give you a little bit more meat than what we're doing today. But the second coming is referring to that. And Christ coming again. Do you believe Christ is going to come again? Some Christians don't, that they're saying they're Christian, they don't believe that. And do you believe in the bodily resurrection? When Christ died and he rose again, he came back in a new body, which is what we believe, a new body. He allowed Thomas to touch his hands and his side, and he had food and was eating and talking with the disciples. Do you believe in the bodily resurrection? So those are the three things that I really wanted to sort of lay the foundation today before we jumped into the process of salvation with you. And basically, if you are talking with someone that does not believe in these five core hallmarks, they are a liberal Christian. They are not an evangelical Christian. They are what's known as a liberal Christian. So hopefully that sheds a little bit of light for you. Hopefully maybe you're making some notes and you really want to research that, buy some books on that, which I would encourage you to. There's just a lot of information out there. God says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. You can study the Word of God and you can dive right on in and always be prepared. So what we're going to go on to next would be Christ and the substitutionary atonement and really what that means. So when we think about substitute and we think about atonement, again, let's go back to that tabernacle that sin must be atoned for. So substitutionary atonement is like, okay, well, let me see about it. What does this mean? Think about, a teacher that you have every day, and then all of a sudden the teacher calls out sick. What do they hire? A substitute. So when we think of what Christ did on the cross for us, his substitutionary atonement, there's a Latin word called vicarious, and that means one in the place of another. So when Christ died on the cross, remember we talked about the final sacrifice, when he died on the cross for us, that is substitutionary atonement. That is what we're, that is what we believe as an evangelical Christian. He died on the cross for us. Now, we start to really look at this and we think, okay, I mean, I have to be honest, when I first came to the Lord, I heard that term quite often. I can't even say I heard substitutionary atonement, but I would say that I definitely was like, okay, I know Christ died on the cross for me. People would say to me, when you're in trouble, Deborah, when you're having these emotional problems, go to the cross. And I just didn't really quite understand what that meant. Go to the cross, like, what am I going to do there? And I know, some questions we want to ask, but, unfortunately, I was like, I don't want to feel like an idiot, but I needed these things answered. And so, again, I think these are some of those fundamental principles, these things that we need to know coming into this new life with Christ. So we're going to break down a little bit here of what substitutionary atonement is. Again, that first would be that Latin word of vicarious. If you are to go and study theology or go into any books, you're going to see that word vicarious quite a bit. Anyway, so we're going to go, again, vicarious is one in the place of another. The next would be redemption. When Christ died on the cross for you, he redeemed you. We hear this a lot, but okay, what did he redeem us from? So again, when we think about how rampant sin is, when we really think about that, and we think, okay, there's a Latin word called agorazo, and that is he redeemed us from the marketplace. Then you have another Latin word called ex agorazo. He redeemed us from the slave market. So when you really put that word slave there, you're like, oh, okay. Think of slave to mentality. Think about what sin has created from the beginning, which is with Adam and Eve, to 2016. The emotional, the physical, the spiritual confusion that people are in, the physical slaves that we have, that sin has made us, either to wanting a new car, a new job. I mean, this mentality of being under this oppression that truly we've actually chosen, until we understand that Christ died on the cross for that. He redeemed us from the marketplace. The last Latin word would be lutro, and that means obtain release by the payment of price. Now, again, Christ didn't take out a wad of money and hand it over. No, his substitutionary atonement, and I'm trying to connect these dots for everyone so that you can see him dying on the cross is what did this. Him dying on the cross is what redeemed us. That is the payment that he made. So the next would be reconciliation. I love this. This right here is gorgeous and beautiful. When Christ died on the cross for you, he made peace with God and humanity. He made peace. I mean, you hear a lot that Jesus is the bridge. That's really what they're speaking of, that reconciliation. Now, what's so interesting is when you don't believe that Christ died on the cross for you, you are the one choosing not to reconcile. But God wants you to open your eyes, I believe, and see that by Christ putting his life up as a ransom for many, that he reconciled you. Now, one thing we can think of it is subjectively. When I believe Christ died on the cross for me, I can obtain everything that he has for me. I can do that when I believe. If I believe, I need to believe. Do you believe that? That's why those evangelical hallmarks are important. Do you believe in substitutionary atonement? Do you believe Christ died on the cross? Because if you believe that, then you're reconciled. Now, understand this. Just because you don't believe, it does not mean he did not die on the cross for you. There's a lot of controversy, people thinking, oh, Christ died for the elect, he only died for the church. That is not true. John 3:16 dispels that. For God so loved the world. He didn't say for God so loved the elect or God so loved the church. No, God loved the world. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever, isn't that everybody, believeth in him shall never die. Here we are again, shall never die, but have eternal life. So that this reconciliation is really important in understanding and grasping that. The next would be propitiation. Propitiation is that when Christ died on the cross for you, he covered you. He satisfied the righteous requirement that God had towards sinners. So again, think about this. Garden of Eden, sin not being originated with Adam and Eve, but entering through Adam and Eve. And all we, you know, oh my goodness, to 2016, sin is just going crazy, rampant, getting larger and larger. And we're giving it more power and power by what we choose in our daily lives to serve. And so when Christ died on the cross, he covered the righteous requirement. He satisfied it. You know that word satisfied? There was a requirement there, and God said, it's satisfied. Satisfied. So that's propitiation. The next would be forgiveness. When Christ died on the cross, the charges against us was removed. I love it. And you'll hear a lot of people, like, they might give this illustration of someone doing a crime and being in a courtroom, and you get up there and you're about to be charged, and the judge says your charges have been removed. And this is really kind of what happened with us when Christ died on the cross. The next would be justification. So when Christ died on the cross for our sins, when he, the propitiation, when the vicarious, when he died in the place of another, our sins were pardoned. I love that word. They were pardoned. One thing that we, you know, the sins, you know, we commit those sins, but this is the beauty of what Christ has done. And not only were we pardoned, but it says here, the pardon and the removal of all sins and the end of separation from God. Oh, now that's juicy. The end of the separation from God. You see, when we talked about sin earlier, the distance that it put between God and humanity, the distance it put between God and his creation, and when Christ died on the cross, the distance has now been omitted. That's why when Christ died on the cross, here's the connection, the Holy of Holies split. When you keep hearing that, no longer do we need Aaron, which is Moses' brother, the first priest of the Levitical priesthood, where he's taking the sins and he's given the offering. No longer do we need that. All we need to do is believe Christ died on the cross for our sins. So that's why the Holy of Holies was split. Now we can walk boldly to the throne. Ooh, praise the Lord. We got to praise the Lord while we're talking today. But that's the gorgeousness of it, that you no longer need a middleman. Christ died on the cross for you. You just have to believe. You just have to believe. You can speak to the Lord yourself. You can pray for yourself because Christ died on the cross for all of that for you. One thing I just wanted to put a biblical reference in there, 2 Peter 2, chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly, which is the Father. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, which is the cross, so that, we talked about so that, purpose-driven statement, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. I love that. So that we might die for sin. Again, he died for you. Do you believe it? Are you choosing it? And for you, we're like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So those are the at least six things that we can take a look at in regards to Christ dying on the cross for us. The next, we're moving right along here, people. In the process of salvation, everybody plays a role. God the Father plays a role. One of the things that God the Father plays a role on is the election. One thing it speaks about is that the question concerning election is not whether one understands it, but whether the Bible teaches it. If indeed the Bible teaches election, then one is obligated to believe it, right? The inspiration and the authority of the Word of God, that's one of the five hallmarks. The doctrine of election includes a number of areas. Israel is elect. Angels are elect. The Levitical priesthood is elect. Jeremiah the prophet is elect. So understand that. Election is something God the Father does, and that is an eternal past. Again, when you hear that your life is God knew you prior, this is all these things happening in eternal past. Us coming through our mother's womb is us walking these things out, but they've already been ordained. The next would be that God predestines. So the scripture, Romans 8:29, those that he foreknew, he also predestined to conform to the likeness of his son so that he may be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. One translation says brethren. This is beautiful because it just lets you know, again, it was predestined. This works assures our ultimate glorification. And what I love is God says, I call you out from among them. You ever felt called out from among them? Maybe you're sitting with a group of friends and you don't really quite in your heart agree with everything that they're saying, and you feel different, and you're feeling Holy Spirit talk to you, and God's calling you out from among them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know that was for somebody just now. The last would be the adoption, Christ dying on the cross for you, you believing in that. Here we are with God the Father. Here's the adoption, that you are now the heir to the throne when you actually hear that. You are a son and you are a daughter, just as Romans 8:29 said, conforming to the likeness of his son so that he may be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. So that is actually what the Father does. And then we move on to Christ and what the work of this. And again, we're in the process of salvation. So these are the things working towards our salvation. What Christ is, of course, he died on the cross for us. Positional sanctification. I don't know if any of you are, reading Paul writing the letters to the Church of Corinth. And this was a very church that was led by the flesh. They were Christians. They called themselves Christians, but this was a very difficult situation for Paul, and trying to encourage this church and trying to renew their mind and lead them in the right way. Well, he begins this letter by calling them saints. And it's like, oh, what? They're what? They're saints? I don't know about that. But this is what's so gorgeous. When Christ died on the cross and you believe in substitutionary atonement and you believe what he's done for you, positional sanctification is that he can indeed, you are seen again as holy without blemish in his sight. And so here's that positional sanctification. There's the position that you hold, which is quite beautiful, and that's why Paul could say to them, greetings, saints, and then go on to tell them stop sleeping with their husbands' wives. So it sounds a little contradictory, but this is the reason why. Next would be experiential sanctification. Experiential sanctification, I truly believe whatever you did to find Jesus, you're going to have to keep doing it to keep him. And experiential sanctification is about experience. We hear that root word in there, experience, experiential sanctification. It's about you building on your, getting into that word, really understanding the authority of that scripture. And here we are with the author's response rather than your reader's response, your devotionals every day, you integrating God into your life. And this is what's so beautiful about experiential sanctification, because it's what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. That's why you have different people in different walks of their life. They're pouring in. They're doing this. Some people, yes, they believe in the Lord, but they're really not doing experiential sanctification. They are allowing themselves just to show up every Sunday and light a candle for Sunday grace, and then that's it until next Sunday. That is not experiential sanctification. The next would be ultimate sanctification, and that is when you are presented to the Lord without any blemish. And I love that. We talked about a little bit earlier, when you give your life over to the Lord, that you have a new identity. There's certain things that once you allow God to govern your life, that you have a new identity. And there's a gorgeous, right away, a new identity. But the process of salvation is talking about your new life in Christ. You have new resources in Christ, and then you have a new destiny in Christ, which is so gorgeous. Next, we're going to talk about Holy Spirit and what Holy Spirit's job is in the process. Holy Spirit seals you. Holy Spirit indwells in you. Holy Spirit baptizes you into union with Christ and other believers. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And Holy Spirit convicts you, and Holy Spirit regenerates you. This is what Holy Spirit's job is. So when you read the scriptures and says don't grieve the Holy Spirit, that's what you're not allowing Holy Spirit to do his full work in the process of salvation. And so again, Holy Spirit seals you. Oh, I love it. Holy Spirit indwells in you, lives in you. Oh, I love, that's why Christ died on the cross, so that, like he said, so that the gift that my Father has will be sent to you. No longer are we waiting for Christ to come down the street so that we can touch his robe and heal us. Christ says, no. Now that I'm gone, the Holy Spirit is here for all mankind. I can be everywhere. That's that random acts of kindness, people. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Next, we're moving on. Next would be the role that man plays. And this is, God the Father does something. Christ does something. Holy Spirit does something. I'm such a firm believer, of course, that in the salvation, we must allow these things to happen to get the fullness of what God is trying to do in us and for us. For man, the first and foremost is we got to believe the gospel. You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced talking with someone and you just, you know, you feel like, oh my goodness, with everything that I say, like I can just tell they don't believe the gospel. They are trying to read the Bible like Sherlock Holmes, looking for clues as to what's wrong with it. Our job in the process of salvation is to believe the gospel. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I'm asking you, do you believe it? I should hear a lot of yeses and amens out there, but yes, I believe it. That's the appropriate answer. Yes, I believe it. The next is knowledge. Do you know? Can you be still and know that he is God? Do you know that? Because when you allow all these wonderful things to happen, when you understand why Christ died on the cross for you, when you're going through all that emotional problem that you're having, when I was going through, how did I get here? Do you know? Can you be still and know that he is God? Ooh, he is holy. It's who he is. He's holy. And we praise him and we worship him in spirit and in truth. God's truth, not ours. God's, how he reveals it. Do you know the love of the Lord looks for ways to bless you without corrupting you? Do you know that? Ooh, praise the Lord. And then another portion of man's job is conviction. We were made as a person of choice. We were made as a person of choice. We can choose it. Are we allowing, when we read the Bible, to be convicted? When the Ten Commandments actually tells you that thou shalt not do adultery, and are you allowing to be convicted because you just looked over at another man and thought he was fine? Fine. Do you realize that Holy Spirit wants to convict you on that? Because there's going to be one day that you're going to get married and that you're going to want to know that your spouse is not looking over at everything that walks by. Because it's not necessarily sometimes what you do, it's actually what you're thinking. And because we know that Satan truly always tries to find that road into your head, that's where it begins, that's where the sin starts. That's where Satan is finding a road into your mind, being a seed. And then you know what? All he has to do is leave you alone because you'll do it to yourself because you're not allowing the word of God to convict you. You're not reading that Bible right. You're not looking at those verses and saying, you don't have to tell anybody, but understand God, as he said, living and active, judging the thoughts and attitude, judging your thoughts. And your attitude, oh my goodness, are you allowing that conviction to happen? That's the difference between us and animals. Animals don't have that. They don't have that. They are not self-conscious like we are. The next would be trust. Ooh, man is responsible for trust. Are you making decisions in your life that show you trust God? Are you making decisions? Think about that. You say that you're a Christian. We say that we believe in the five hallmarks, and oh, we go out there and we preach up a storm and we always got a word for somebody. But when somebody is looking at our lives, are we making decisions that are saying, I trust, speaking to things that are not as though they are so? Are we doing it? Can God look down and say, oh, to whom, oh, my son, daughter, in whom I'm well pleased? When the heavens pull open and God's looking at you, can he say that? Are you showing him that you love him more than anything else? Are you trusting him? And are you walking that out? Are you? Really? Are you? You don't have to answer that for me. Answer that for God. Are you? He knows already. Are you being honest? That's what that author's response is. And are you really allowing that to happen in your spirit? Are you allowing Holy Spirit to do the work that he was sent to do in you? And can someone else pick off your tree? Oh, I sure hope so. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. This is I can't believe we're towards the end of our show. I just appreciate you spending time with me today, and I hope I hope I was able to shed some light and piqued your interest, and pray that maybe you'll go dive into something and grab a book on the topic and read the Bible with an author's response and not as a detective looking for ways to add to what you're going to do in your life that's wrong. I want to read I want to close this show with a book that I read called Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Relationships, Roles, and Relevance, and that's by Bruce. And it says this: for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? For Paul, it was absolutely clear that people needed to hear the gospel of Christ to believe and call on the Lord to be saved. The Spirit, then, does not work in an independent saving manner apart from the proclamation and knowledge of the gospel of Christ. For it is only by knowledge of this gospel that any can be saved. Since the Spirit has come to glorify Jesus, one central way Jesus is honored is as his person and saving work are known, made known to Jews and Greeks. For the gospel alone is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. A little bit ago, I had a couple years ago, I had gone to a Bible study, and truly the Holy Spirit led me to this Bible study. I didn't even know this woman, and she invited me, and it ended up all being about the tabernacle, which was a sequence of events that led me there. And there was a lady that I met there, and actually she's the one who led me to the Bible study. She writes me this letter. She sends me this book, and this is what she wrote on the card. Never give up. Never. It's totally not worth it. Eternity's too long. Just cleaning each pane of window with God's truth until you can see. Replace dark with light. Displace bad with good. Step, step, step. Go to work, girl. So glad I met you. You are a powerhouse, and you don't even know it yet. And to anyone out there that's listening, I say to you, you are a powerhouse, and you might not even know it yet. Just keep cleaning the window pane with God's truth. Just keep doing that until you can see, until Holy Spirit illuminates the scriptures in your mind, and that you can look and say, where in that movie, it's like, is it your words or my ears? But now you have ears to hear and eyes to see God's truth in your life. God's truth in your life. God's truth. I hope the best for everyone out there. And I hope you allow God to do what he has to do in your own life. Be safe. And until next time, we love you. Be good and stay safe.
Thanks for tuning in. And to listen to this show and other shows, visit the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media or download Stitcher on your mobile device so you can tune in to next week for another Dovetails with Deborah.